We present Peter Cook and Marjorie Westbury in a BBC production of the Francis Durbridge serial, Paul Temple and the Van Dyck Affair. The final episode. Presenting Mr. Van Dyck. She's coming round.
Yes, my head. What happened?
Drink this, Miss Faber.
What happened?
Drink this.
No. No, what is it?
It's all right, really.
It's
drink it.
All right, Miss Faber. It won't do you any harm.
What are you going to do with me?
How long have you been working for Van Dyck? Answer me.
About 6 months.
How did it all start? Do you take drugs?
No, he had some letters of mine. He started to blackmail me. At first it was just money, but later he made me work for him.
I see. Tell me, what were you going to do if my wife had fallen for this little trick of yours?
Van Dyck told me to telephone him. We should have taken her away. I think he intended to hold Mrs. Temple as a sort of hostage.
Yes.
Miss Faber, I don't think you realize it, but you're a very lucky woman.
Why do you say that?
Because I'm going to let you walk out of here. I'm going to say nothing to the police about all this.
Why?
Well, I want you to do something for me.
What?
I want you to write a letter, Miss Faber. I'm sorry if my phone call got you out of bed.
No, I've been up for some little time.
Cigarette?
Oh, thank you.
I'll sit down. Light?
Thank you.
Oh, when did you get back from Paris?
I didn't go to Paris after all.
Oh? Well, what made you change your mind?
Well, I was terribly distressed about Vanessa, and my doctor advised me not to make the journey.
I see.
I got some very good friends in Paris, so everything's been taken care of.
Where have you been staying? Down at Marlow?
No, at the flat.
Were you in town the night before last, the night Mrs. Desmond was murdered?
Yes, I was. That must have been a shocking business. I heard all about it from McCall.
Trusty, tell me, how well do you know Roger Shelley?
Shelley? You mean the willowy young man with the cottage near Marlow?
That's right.
I don't know him, at least not to speak to. Why do you ask?
Well, apparently, the night that Mrs. Desmond was murdered, someone also attacked Roger Shelley.
Really?
It appears the assailant was about your build and wore an identity bracelet. I see you wear one, Drosty.
I've always worn this. It belonged to my mother. It's not an identity bracelet.
I see.
My dear chap, why should I attack Roger Shelley? I've told you I don't know the fellow. Besides, I can assure you I'm not the sort of person that goes around attacking people, whether I know them or not.
Well, I'm quite prepared to accept your word, Drosty. But, of course, I'm not Scotland Yard.
Are you suggesting that Scotland Yard think I attacked Shelley?
I merely said I'm not Scotland Yard.
Now, look here, Temple, let's get this straight. You know as well as I do that if anyone did attack Shelley, then 10-1 is the same person who murdered Mrs. Desmond.
If anyone did attack Shelley, do you doubt his word, then?
Frankly, yes.
You hardly know the man, and yet you doubt his word.
What is it you wanted to see me about?
Oh, yes. Drosty, I'm going to ask you to do something for me, and I'm afraid you'll find it rather an unusual request.
Well?
I've got a piece of paper here with some names and addresses on it. I want you to make a careful note of them. Here it is.
Marianne Faber, Roger Shelley, Bill McCall, Sir Graham Forbes. What's the point of this?
Well, I want you to give a party, Drosty.
A party?
Yes.
When?
Tomorrow night, at your flat. 8:00.
You want me to invite these people to my flat tomorrow night?
That's right.
Temple, it is only 48 hours since my wife died.
Yes, I know that, Drosty. And believe me, I wouldn't ask you to do this if it wasn't absolutely vital.
Well, all right. Tomorrow night, my flat, 8:00.
Thank you.
But for the life of me, I don't see the point, old man.
You're not supposed to. You're just supposed to give the party.
Thank you. Terry Palmer?
Yes, who is that?
Temple here.
Oh, what do you want?
Oh, just to have a word with you.
You seem to spend your entire life having words with me. We spent an hour together this morning at Scotland Yard. Surely that was enough to be going on with.
Yes, I'm afraid I'm making a nuisance of myself,
well,
but...
what is it this time?
Well, I'd like to see you tomorrow night, if possible.
Tomorrow night?
Yes, 8 o'clock at your flat, if that's convenient.
Yes, all right. I'll be here.
Good, I look forward to seeing you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Ah, Charlie.
Sorry I'm late. I had a bit of a job finding a taxi.
Well, what happened? Did you deliver it?
Yes.
Just as I said?
Yes, just as you said. I pushed it under the door.
Yes, all right, Charlie.
Paul, telephone.
Yes, it's all right. I'll answer it. Hello?
Temple?
Yes?
Terry Palmer here.
Oh, I was just leaving for your place, Palmer.
Temple, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid I'll have to put you off.
Oh dear, what a nuisance.
Well, I'm sorry, but I've been out all day, and when I got back, there was a message for me. Well, look here, can't we make it some other time? Tomorrow morning, perhaps?
Yes, all right, tomorrow morning.
12 o'clock?
Fine.
Right, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, are you ready now, Mr. Temple?
Yes, Steve, I'm ready now.
Won't you have one of these biscuits, Miss Faber?
No, thank you.
Well, I'll have an olive.
No, thank you.
Gee, you must have something.
Do you mind if I have a biscuit?
No, of course not. Help yourself, Shelley.
They really are quite delicious. You don't know what you're missing, Marion.
Would you like another drink, Sir Graham?
No, thank you.
May I have another martini, Drosty?
Yes, of course.
Bill?
Yeah? Another martini for Mr. Temple.
Coming up.
Thank you.
Now, what can I get you, Mrs. Temple?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you. I was just admiring your window, Mr. Drosty. I don't think I've ever seen such an attractive window.
Yes, most people seem to... Oh, will you excuse me, please? That's the door.
Yes, of course.
Ah, good evening, Drosty. Well, I understand you finally... What is this? What's happening here?
Why, hello, Palmer.
Temple.
Why, Timothy, it's a small world. Come in, come in. Darling, it's Terry Palmer.
Hello, Mr. Palmer.
Sir Graham.
Good evening, Palmer.
Hello, Terry.
Marion, what are you doing here?
Well, if it comes to that, what are you doing here?
But I was asked to come. I got a note.
We were all asked to come. Otherwise, we shouldn't be here.
Look here, Temple. Don't you think you owe us an explanation?
Me? But this is Mr. Drosty's party.
Well, look, let's get this straightened out. You're responsible for us all being here this evening. You're the guy behind this so-called party, not Mr. Drosty. Now, what's it all about?
I'll tell you, McCaw. The other night, I had a very interesting talk with Mary Desmond. She told me the truth about Miss Millicent, about the disappearance of the baby, and about Queenie Edwards.
Go on.
Mrs. Desmond worked for a man called Van Dyke, who is the English head of a drug smuggling ring, which was controlled by Charles Marais. He had a shop in Paris, and Van Dyke used to send people over there to contact Marais and smuggle the drugs back to London. To establish their identity with Marais, people used to carry a special pair of gloves. Inside each was a small tab bearing Marais's name. Immediately Marais saw this tab, he knew that he was dealing with an agent from London, one of Van Dyke's people.
I see.
But Mr. Temple, tell me, how did that character De Wolf fit into the picture? Did he work for Van Dyke?
De Wolf? You mean the guy that was murdered down at the Wordsworth?
Yes.
De Wolf was one of Marais's men. He came over here to see Van Dyke. He'd never actually met him before. The receipt, which we found on him, took the place of a pair of gloves as a means of identification.
Oh, so that's why those gloves of Mrs. Desmond's didn't fit.
Yes, they'd been sent to her by Van Dyke. The size was unimportant.
Yes, but look here, Temple. This man De Wolf was murdered. Why?
I think it's obvious why he was murdered. He came over not only to contact Van Dyke, but to find out exactly what he was up to. Mary was beginning to suspect that Van Dyke was getting a little tired of playing second fiddle. In fact, he was getting too big for his shoes.
But look here, Temple. My wife had a pair of those gloves. You remarked on them yourself, so...
So what, Drosty?
Well, are you suggesting that Vanessa was an agent of Van Dyke's?
You know perfectly well that she was. Otherwise, why did you go to Paris?
I told you why. My wife was having an affair with Mary, and I followed her.
Your wife was a drug addict. It's my guess that she was being blackmailed by Van Dyke. Isn't that right? Well?
Yes. I was a fool. I ought to have told you this before. Vanessa did take drugs. There was nothing I could do about it. I tried to stop her, but it was no use. Then one day she told me that Van Dyke was blackmailing her. Although I've never actually met Van Dyke, he sent a message to me asking me to...
Shut up, Droste!
Terry!
If you say one word more, Droste, I'll...
Paul, you've got a gun!
Look out!
Stand back! Stand back, do you hear?
Drop that gun, Palmer, drop it.
Don't be a fool, Palmer.
I warn you, Droste, if you open your mouth just once more, I'll fire.
If you think you can intimidate me, my friend, you're wrong.
Look out, Droste!
Get hold of him, McCall!
Terry, don't fire!
Get out of the way, Marion!
Terry, please!
Marion! Marion, I didn't mean it.
Jerry,
look out! Palmer's going for the window!
Stop him! Shelley!
Now, don't be stupid,
look out,
Palmer!
You out of my way!
I'm going to jump!
Palmer!
Here's an empty carriage, sir.
No, I'll go further down, if you don't mind.
Well, there isn't much time, sir. How about this one, sir?
No, I'd rather... Yes. Yes, that's all right. Put it in the non-smoker.
Oh, very good, sir.
It's all right. I'll see to it now. Here you are.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Excuse me, is the... Why, hello, McCall.
Hi, hello, Temple. You're just in time. What are you doing here?
I'm going down to Maidenhead for 2 or 3 days. Sir Graham's taken a house down there. Where are you off to?
I'm going down to Marlow for the day to the Wordsworths. I still got to keep my eye on things, you know.
Yes, I expect you have. Ah, lucky to get a corner seat.
I've just been reading about last night, Temple. Palmer was killed instantly.
Yes. The papers have certainly gone to town on it, haven't they? By the way, McCall, is Drusty on the train?
Drusty? Why, no. Why do you ask?
Oh, I thought I saw him, that's all. Oh, well, we're on our way. May I come in?
Oh, hello, Mr. Temple. I didn't know you were on the train.
I thought I spotted you, Shelley, on the platform. Is this seat taken?
No. Oh, I'm so glad to see you. I think train journeys are the end. Isn't Mrs. Temple with you?
No, I'm travelling alone. Incidentally, McCall's on the train, did you know?
McCall?
Yes.
Are you sure?
I've just been talking to him.
Oh, is he alone?
Well, he says he is.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I could have sworn I caught a glimpse of Drosty.
Oh, well, if Drosty was on the train, he'll be with McCall, surely. I've just been reading about last night.
Yes, it's in all the papers.
What an extraordinary person Palmer must have been.
Yes. I'm glad I bumped into you, Shelley, because I'd like to tell you a little more about that man, De Wolf.
De Wolf?
Yes, don't you remember? You were asking me about him last night.
Oh, yes, yes, of course.
Well, De Wolf went down to Marlow to contact Van Dyke. He struck up an apparently casual acquaintanceship with him in the bar at the Wordsworth, and Van Dyke invited him out to dinner.
Oh, but I invited De Wolf to dinner, don't you remember?
Yes, I know. Let me finish my story.
Oh, sorry.
Van Dyke warned De Wolf that there was a Scotland Yard man staying at the hotel called Sergeant Digby. The day De Wolf was due to go out to Van Dyke's, he discovered that Digby had left the hotel. De Wolf phoned Van Dyke and told him this. He also told him that a Mr. and Mrs. Paul Temple had arrived.
Go on.
When Van Dyke got the phone call from De Wolf, he had a friend with him, another member of the ring, a lady called Marion Faber. Miss Faber was a great artist and, well, quite a girl for practical jokes.
What do you mean?
She suggested that De Wolf should impersonate Digby and introduce himself to Mr. and Mrs. Temple.
Go on.
Do you know what De Wolf did when he impersonated Digby?
No.
He threw suspicion onto you.
Onto me?
Yes. You see, he'd already decided you were a double-crosser, and he meant to advise Mary to get rid of you.
Oh, my dear Mr. Temple, you're talking absolute nonsense. You know perfectly well that Terry Palmer was Van Dyke.
Palmer
so
was
why...
not Van Dyke. He was Van Dyke's right-hand man.
Well, what do you mean? You're not suggesting that I'm Van Dyke.
Aren't you, Shelley? Come on. You've been very convincing, but suppose we drop the precious act.
You appear to be... very well informed.
I'm glad you think so. However, there are one or two points on which no doubt you can enlighten me.
For instance?
Why did you start throwing suspicion onto Palmer? Surely he was your right-hand man.
I had no alternative.
Why?
Queenie Edwards had already thrown suspicion onto Palmer by planting the doll at the Commodore. Also, I had to give Mary an explanation of the DeWolf murder, so I told him that Terry Palmer was responsible. From that moment, I was instructed by Mary to throw suspicion onto Palmer.
But you threw suspicion onto him after Mary was murdered?
Well, of course, the police, to say nothing of a certain Mr. Temple, already had their eye on Palmer. It was to my advantage that they should continue to suspect him.
I see. And the cafe incident in Paris?
If that little incident had gone according to plan, you wouldn't be here. And the atmosphere would be considerably less oppressive. However, it didn't, and here you are.
What did you mean to do at the cafe? Get rid of Mrs. Drosty and Mary? To say nothing of my wife and myself?
Of course. That was the idea. I got Mrs. Drosty to arrange to see Mary at the cafe. Unfortunately, Mary got wise to what was happening and just didn't turn up. However, he was taken care of.
By Franz?
Yes. Louis Franz was an excellent fellow. I'm sorry you didn't get a chance to meet him, Temple. Oh, what a pity he couldn't swim.
Right, Timothy. Steve said you were crazy.
Crazy? Do you know how much money I've made out of this little setup of mine in the past 18 months? £37,000. Free of tax.
Shelley?
Yes?
Tell me, just to satisfy my curiosity, did you murder Queenie Edwards yourself?
Yes. France overheard the telephone conversation she had with you, and I followed her onto the train. Why do you ask?
Because my wife saw Queenie when they took her off the train at Paddington.
Oh, I see. Oh, but you mustn't be sensitive about these things, you know. Oh, by the way, you might be interested to see the knife.
Oh.
Oh, I'm glad you are suitably impressed. Now listen, I'll tell you precisely what I want you to do. When we arrive at Marlowe, I want you to...
Drop that knife.
Drosty.
Drop it, Shelley. Okay, Temple, relax.
Phew, I'm glad to see you, McCall.
Pick it up, Bill.
Don't worry, I'm picking it up.
Now listen, Drosty, don't be a fool. I'll make you a proposition. I'll tell you what I'll do.
You've already made me one proposition, one too many. Now stay where you are. Don't move.
All right, Drosty. Give me that revolver, I'll take over.
Just a moment, old man. Isn't Sir Graham on the train?
Yes, he is.
Well, don't you think you'd better fetch him? After all, technically, it's a matter for the police. We'll look after Mr. Shelley.
Yeah. We'll look after him, Temple.
All right. I'll find Sir Graham.
There's no hurry, old man. There's no hurry.
Temple, don't leave me. Don't leave me with Drosty. What? What are you going to do, Drosty? I didn't mean to kill Vanessa. I swear I didn't. It was an accident.
Get up. Get up.
What are you going to do to me?
Open that door.
Which door?
The carriage door. Open it.
But the train's moving. You can't. No. No.
All right, Bill. Open it.
Trusty, what are you going to do?
Give me the knife, Bill.
No. No, listen to me.
You little swine, you asked for
this. No, don't touch me. Don't. Trusty, please. Please don't.
Where is he? Where's Shelley?
I'm sorry, Sir Graham. There's been an accident.
An accident? What do you mean?
He opened the carriage door and made a jump for it. There was just nothing we could do about it.
It was unfortunate. Most unfortunate.
Most unfortunate, Drosty.
What a wonderful afternoon. Mm.
So peaceful.
I could sit in this punt for hours.
Yes, well, you're not going to sit there for hours.
Hmm?
About time one of you took a turn with this pole.
You're doing very nicely, Steve.
Couldn't do better if I tried, my dear.
Yes, well, you're not trying, Mr. Graham.
What are you going to do, Temple? Now this Van Dyke affair is over?
Oh, take things easy, I suppose. You know me. There's nothing I'd like better.
Yes, and I know you. Always promising to take things easy and doing nothing about it. Holidays cancelled. Another crack about taking things easy. And you had it, mister.
What do you mean?
You know what I mean. Old man River.
You wouldn't dare.
Oh, wouldn't I?
Are we stopping?
We are.
Oh.
Only for a moment, gentlemen, while I flex my muscles. Oh, have a hard earned rest.
Oh, poor Steve. Temple, there's something about that Van Dyke affair I don't quite understand.
There's quite a lot I don't understand.
Oh, Lord, I thought we were going to skip the good old post-mortem.
No, no, but seriously. Why did Shelley persuade Marianne Faber to send that note?
Which note?
The one that was supposed to have been written by Miss Millicent.
Well, Shelley was very sure of himself. And he made up his mind to get rid of Mary and take control of the Paris organization. The note served a dual purpose.
How do you mean?
Shelley believed that if he produced a threatening note apparently written by Miss Millicent, we would jump to the conclusion that Miss Millicent was in hiding and was actually Van Dyke. And he knew that once we discovered the identity of De Wolf, we would very quickly...
catch up with Mary.
Exactly.
But when you saw Marion Faber, she admitted that the note was a practical joke.
Ah, yes, but don't forget it was Shelley who told us that Marion was an expert forger. When I went to see Marion, she said precisely what Shelley had told her to say. She made him sound like a silly young man who deserved to have a practical joke played on him.
And she threw further suspicion onto Palmer with the photograph.
Yes. You see, Steve, once the police discovered that Miss Millicent was dead and couldn't have written the note, Shelley was in a spot. He had to think of some explanation.
Well, if Shelley didn't receive a threatening note, a genuine note, I mean, why was he attacked?
Obviously,
who attacked him?
Obviously, Droste attacked him.
Why?
Droste knew perfectly well that Van Dyke, alias Shelley, had been responsible for the death of his wife.
I think it was you, Steve, who first persuaded Shelley that he'd been attacked by Droste.
You mean when I mentioned the identity bracelet?
Mm.
I had a talk with Droste, Temple. It appears that Van Dyke was not only blackmailing his wife, but was trying to blackmail Droste as well.
Yes, I guessed as much. I think he had some scheme that he wanted Droste to finance. He did everything he could to get a hold over Droste. He even tried to influence McCall. When he realized that McCall wasn't having any, but intended to play the game by his chief, he got Franz to plant the cigarette lighter.
In the hope of getting McCall convicted for the Mallet murder.
Exactly.
Hmm. Well, darling, something else. Tell me, why did you spill that coffee on Shelley?
Well, although I suspected that Shelley was Van Dyke, I was still suspicious of Palmer. I spilt the coffee on Shelley because I wanted to have a look in his wallet.
Of course.
I found part of a letter, an unimportant letter, written by Shelley himself. This was exactly what I wanted. Later, I gave it to Marion Faber and told her to copy the handwriting.
You told Miss Faber to copy it?
Yes. I told her to write a letter to Palmer in Shelley's handwriting. The letter simply said, Droste has agreed to cooperate. Meet me at his flat tonight at 8, Van Dyke.
But I don't see the point of that.
Well, I then made an appointment to see Palmer the next evening at 8 o'clock. But that particular afternoon, I made certain that the letter was delivered to Palmer. He immediately cancelled our appointment, thus confirming that he thought the handwriting was Shelley's and that he was under the impression that he'd received a genuine letter from Shelley, alias Van Dyke.
You knew then that if he turned up at Droste's, Shelley was Van Dyke?
Precisely.
Well, I think that was very clever of you, darling.
Thank you, Steve.
Well, that's the finish of the Van Dyke affair, Temple.
Yes.
What are you going to do now, Temple?
Oh, take things easy, I suppose. You know me. No, Steve! Oh. Steve, no!
Yes. Mercy, I warned you, Mr. Temple. I warned you.
In that recording of the eighth and last episode of Paul Temple and the Van Dyke Affair, the part of Paul Temple...
Oh, Lord, I thought we were going to skip the good old post-mortem.
...was played by Peter Cook. Steve, his wife...
Now, Paul, don't be stupid. I've got to get this plaster off your arm.
...was played by Marjorie Westbury. Sir Graham Forbes...
Well, that's the finish of the Van Dyke Affair, Temple.
...was played by Richard Williams. Charlie.
Sorry, I'm late. I had a bit of a job finding a taxi.
By James Beattie. Inspector Eden.
McCall could have overheard that conversation. The phone call came from the Wordsworth.
It was played by Frederick Treves. Philip Droste.
My dear fellow, how nice of you to come at a moment's notice. I do appreciate it.
It was played by Simon Lack. Bill McCall.
You're the guy behind this so-called party, Temple, not Mr. Droste.
Played by John Scott. Mary Desmond.
The police will never find Susan. All they do is ask a lot of silly questions.
Played by June Tobin. Terry Palmer.
Of course I've been to Paris, but I didn't buy Mrs. Desmond a pair of gloves, if that's what you're thinking.
Was played by Peter Wilde. Louis France.
I knew you would. I told Van Dyck you recognized my voice.
Was played by Rolf Lefevre. Marion Faber.
He started to blackmail me. At first it was just money, but later he made me work for him.
Was played by Betty Hardy. And Roger Shelley, alias Van Dyck.
My dear Mr. Temple, you're talking absolute nonsense.
Was played by Richard Herndl. The technical presentation was by Frederick Bell, assisted by Gordon Bowen, Patience Sheffield, and Biddy Baxter. The Paul Temple serials are written by Francis Durbridge and produced by Martin C. Webster.